Now to take your Bibles or your tablets or your laptop computers, whatever it is that you may have, and turn with me to the New Testament scriptures and to Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, and we're going to consider an event that took place, recorded for us in chapter 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and we read from verse 35, Mark 4 and from verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, that's Jesus, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, Let us go across to the other side. And I think you would agree with me, wherever it is that you are today, that in recent days, all of us have witnessed some amazing things. It is that some of these things have been extremely serious. We can think of it in terms of the lockdowns of towns and cities, but also the lockdowns even of the countries of this world, and how it is that when we would perhaps drive or walk about where we are, it's almost as though that we're in a movie, because it is that the streets that resounded so much to the sound of people and traffic, it is that there seems to be a total silence. We can think of those perhaps who today are in fear, because it is that they've lost their source of income and are wondering how it is that they're going to put food on the table, far less in terms of paying the bills. And yet there are some things that in recent days that have not been so serious, and yet in a strange sense, amazing as well. For instance, those of us who live in Toronto, and as we would drive on the 401 through Toronto, normally it's nose to tail at most hours of the day, yet now it is that there's hardly a vehicle on the highway. It is that the streets that are normally full, particularly downtown Toronto, it is that they are virtually empty of people. And then one thing in particular, even the price of gas or of petrol for those of us in other parts of the world, it is that this is at an all-time low in a sense. Well, if it is that we're experiencing and part of amazing things, that's the connection that we have with the passage that we're considering in this account of Jesus calming the storm. It is that we know from Mark and indeed the other gospel writers that the disciples of Jesus had witnessed some very amazing things in the months since it was that he had called them to follow him and to be his disciples. It is that they had seen Jesus cast out demons, they had seen him heal the sick, they had heard him pronouncing the forgiveness of sins, and they'd heard the wonderful teaching that came forth from his lips. Because of that, it was the case that multitudes of people were following Jesus wherever it was that he went. I've often thought that if we'd been alive at that time, that we would have known and heard of Jesus long before we saw him. Because I think in terms of the crowds as they followed him, certainly you would see the dust cloud that perhaps he sprung up through the feet of many people walking along the dusty roads. And certainly I think it is that you would have heard a sort of buzz. And it would have been that buzz was the clamor of the people they sought to follow Jesus and even catch his attention that he might heal them or speak to them. And now it is that we find here in chapter 4 that Jesus is preaching to the same people. We find in chapter 4 at the beginning that he's using parables to teach them. And through these parables, he's totally confounding the unbelieving religious leaders of Israel. But it is that he's forcing the multitudes, that amazing and as wonderful as the miracle is, to look beyond the miracles that he performs and to try and understand the true nature of his messianic mission and indeed who he himself is as the Messiah, the Son of God. And it is that as we come here to Mark 4 and 35, the disciples are about to witness the most dramatic miracle yet. And basically what we can say is that through this miracle, Jesus will command a storm to give way to a calm. Let me say that again, that Jesus will command a storm to give way to a calm. And in doing this, Jesus is giving his disciples important new insight into the true nature of his person and his work. And it is that's applicable to each one of us today, no matter our circumstances. It is that we may be in calm waters, in a sense, with regard to God's providence for ourselves, for our families, for our loved ones. Yet maybe for some of us, it is that we know that we're in the midst of a storm for whatever reason at the moment. And the word of comfort and the word of hope and the word that would encourage us today is that this selfsame Jesus, as we're going to consider here in Mark 4 and 35, that it is that he can command whatever storm is in your life, and it is that he can change that storm into a calm. So then, let's see something of what's going on here. First, a heading this morning would be, the first point is that we find here in verses 35 and 36, a moment of serenity. It is that we've got a moment of serenity here. It is that in the moments immediately following the long day of ministry, there has been a crisis, as we read of it through the beginning of chapter 4. It is that the disciples now enjoy for a moment a time of serenity with the Lord. You read that in 35, in that day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go across to the other side of the lake." Now, what is it that we're finding here? Well, the first thing is, I think that we're finding a command. That Jesus has spent the day teaching a very large crowd of people on one side of the Sea of Galilee. The crowd was so large, as we know, that Jesus himself, his pulpit, his podium, was in terms of a fishing boat that had just been cast out a little from the seashore. And it is that he preached and taught from this boat. And as the day is coming to an end, and it is that no doubt that the crowds are dispersing, it is that Jesus commands his disciples to push off from the shore and to travel across the lake to the eastern side of the lake, and indeed, as we see in chapter 5, to the town of the Gadarene demoniac. And it is that the passage reveals, quite simply, that the disciples were obedient to the Lord and they followed his command. And as they were being obedient to the Lord and they followed his command, not only were they, in a sense, crossing the lake to the other side to witness to others about the saving power of Christ, but it is that they, like us, that as we would follow the command of Jesus Christ, telling us where it is that we should go, what it is that we should do, that it is that we are on this voyage, this pilgrimage, that Jesus calls each one of us who love him to be found on. And it is that the comfort that I think that we find here, even as there is this serene moment, when it is that they cast out from shore, when it is that the anchor is lifted up, when it is that they start to travel from west to east, that it is that they have one on board with them, and we read just as he was, as a man, as a man with who get tired, and we see this even in the chapter, as a man who is able to communicate, a man who is able to interact with men and women, just as we interact with one another, it is that he's almost like a captain of the ship, and a captain in terms of the voyage of life and the adventure that he calls each one of us to. And the wonderful thing that I think we can say is that in this voyage of life, it is that if we're in Christ, then it is that we have a captain who leads us when Jesus is on board with us, and when it is that Jesus comes with us just as he is. It is that he gives directions to his disciples, and they listen to him because they trusted in him. Now, what's interesting is that you go to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, and this is what you read there. "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." You see, it is that the scripture identifies Jesus as the captain of our sufferings. And it is that that's how I think one way in which we can understand him being presented here. that in the midst of this voyage, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the fear that was the disciples, the saving grace and the hope that was theirs was that they were able to look to the captain of their salvation and cry out to him, and indeed he answered them. And so it is that Jesus takes charge. The disciples follow his directions. And it is, I think, that we're being told that no matter what you're going through at this moment, no matter what it is that you're enduring, that Jesus himself knows the danger of the voyage that you're on, of the voyage that you're sailing, and it is that he can steer you by, around, and beyond the rocks and other things in life that would seek to make you shipwreck in one way or another. And it is that when Jesus Christ is in the ship of your life, when it is that Jesus Christ is your captain and the one who would direct you through this life, then it is that you have a mighty captain at the wheel, at the tiller of your life. I was reading about a situation that took place at sea a time ago. And it seems there was a wild storm that had come up. And the boat, which was a fairly sizable boat, it was really being thrown about like a toy. And there was a frightened man, it seems, who stood in one spot holding on for dear life, and it is that he was being shaken to bits in terms of the working of his own fear. And just then it is that he turned round and he saw this young boy, and the thing that amazed him about the young boy was that the young boy looked so calm. And so it is, he shouted out to the young boy and he said, "Son, how can you be so calm in this awful storm?" And the little boy looked at him and said, "My dad is the captain, and my dad has never lost a ship at sea." If it was like that then, how much more for those of us who have Christ as the captain of our life? That Jesus is our captain, he's never lost a ship. And it is that he's never lost those who are with him and who are trusting in him. So it is that their life had a captain in this serene moment. It is that their life had a course given to them when Jesus was on board. You see, when Jesus Christ is captain of your life, there is a course that you have to follow. It's interesting that when you go to the book of Acts and the history of the early church, the New Testament church, that you find God's people, that the first way in which they're described is that they're people of the way. It's not until later on in Antioch that there they were first called Christians. And it is that you read in Acts 9 and verse 2 that Saul himself, as he sought to take many of God's people and imprison them and so on, you read in 9:2 that if Saul found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bound them and bring them to Jerusalem. And it is that's what can be said of us, that we are people of the way. In Acts 19 and 8, some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way. Acts 19 and 23, there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. Acts 22 and 4, Paul says, "I persecuted this way to death." Acts 24 and 14, "But this I confess to you, that according to the way." And then in Acts 24 and 22, Felix having a rather accurate knowledge of the way. Six times it is that the Spirit in the book of Acts describes the church of Christ and those who belong to Christ as the way. And then think of what Jesus himself said. "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And you have to ask yourself seriously this morning, are you a person of the way? Do you know which way it is that you are going? Do you know the direction that it is that God is calling you to take? And it is that Jesus Christ, as he came on board, he said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." He begins by giving them orders, and he's revealing that he's not just Savior, but he's Lord. And if it is that you are not someone who is Christ on board in your life, It is that your life is like a ship in the sea, tossed about without compass or chart. It is that you drift aimlessly without purpose or direction. Is that not what characterizes so many? Not just before COVID, but particularly even in the midst of COVID. That now that they're locked down in their homes, as it were, that there's an aimlessness. There's no purpose. There's no direction. For us who belong to the way, it's different. It is that we see that for the moment, this is the direction that the Lord is leading us to. And you see, if it is that you don't have Christ in your life this morning, then your life is really one where you're lost at sea. And you're lost with no direction and no hope. So what do we give God thanks for? What should we do? We should thank God for his blessed compass. Here in my hands, his word. I've said to my congregation that the word Bible, it is that you can say that Bible means basic instruction before leaving earth. Bible is basic instruction before leaving earth. And so it is God's compass, it is God's chart that he gives to those who are of the way. And he says to us, this is the way. The way in the Old Testament, the way in the New Testament, this is the way. And I command you to walk in that way. So you've got a captain, you've got a course, and then there's completion when it is that Christ is on board of your life. You see, Jesus tells his disciples, get into the boat, let's cross to the other side. And so it is that he's already assured them that they will arrive at their destination. And what Jesus is saying to them, to us today, is this, that no storm in the life of an individual or in the life of the Church of Jesus Christ can possibly destroy what it is that Jesus himself has promised. No storm, whether it be COVID-19, whatever else it may be, can stop what it is that Jesus Christ has begun. Think of what Paul writes, is it in Philippians, that he who began a good work within you, that he will bring it on to the day of completion, even the day of Christ. And that's the comfort and the strength that is ours in the midst of this strange, strange time that we find ourselves living in. And if it is that you are a believer today, no matter what the days ahead hold, even if it is that you be someone who succumbs to COVID-19, and it is that you're at the point where you know that you're about to depart this scene of time, the one thing that you can be sure about as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is that Jesus himself will bring you to your ultimate destination. And that ultimate destination is in heaven itself, to be found in the presence of Christ, to be found with the angelic beings and the departed saints, and to be found as that large chorus that no man can number, who sing of the worthiness of the Lamb who was slain from all eternity. Yes, it is that you may face storms in your life. Yes, it is that you may be in a hurricane gale at the moment, and it's violent and it's brutal. But on the basis of God's word, I can say to you, you will arrive safely at home, at your heavenly home one day. And you have to believe that, even in the midst of the voyage of your life and in the storms of your life. So the first thing then is that here we have a moment of serenity. The second thing is, and we're looking at verses 37 and 38, is that you've got a moment, not of serenity, but you've got a moment of severity, a moment of severity. Look at what you read in 37. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Now, what's happening here? Well, the leisurely and enjoyable experience, the serenity that for a moment had been theirs, has now turned into a frightening experience. Now, the geography of this region certainly is something to play in terms of the storm that comes upon the lake. It seems that the surface of the Sea of Galilee is roughly about 600 to 700 feet below sea level, and it itself is then surrounded by mountains that climb up to thousands of feet. And because of that, the winds that come over the mountains, it is that they cause these winds to descend quickly and sharply onto the Sea of Galilee. And even today, if you're found in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, it can be quiet and calm one moment, and then very quickly it is that the calmness can turn into a storm. Now, these disciples, they were seasoned fishermen. They were men. This was their lifestyle. This was their chosen profession. And here were men who were accustomed to being on the water, but when you read here and what it is that they're saying to Jesus, it seems to be that this storm was of another order. It was of another magnitude. It was something that was beyond just the geographical circumstances, and I think we'll see that later on as we continue. But what can we learn from in this moment of severity? The first thing is that storms are unpredictable. Storms are unpredictable. What began as a leisurely trip quickly became an extremely serious and dangerous situation. Now, the same is true of our everyday lives. We can be enjoying a calm, relaxing day. It is that we can be sitting there with our cup of coffee, with our feet up on the table and relaxing in our favorite chair. Then it is that the phone goes, and the message that we're given over the phone, it brings a storm into our life. In a moment, things have changed. And all of us together today, we've got no way of knowing what a day will bring forth or what it is that we may be forced to deal with. I mean, again, at the beginning of the year, did we ever think that the situation that has come forth with regard to COVID, that it is that that would come about and what it is that we would be forced to deal with? No. And it's saying to us that storms and difficulties and trials often come at the most inopportune times and with little advance warning. But there's another reason why they were in the storm, and it's this that is really striking. The reason that they're in this storm at this particular point in place and time is because Jesus led them into it. Let me say that again. The reason that they're in this particular storm at this particular place and time is because Jesus led them into it. This Jesus, whom they have been following, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, at his request and in obedience to his command, they find themselves in trouble. They find themselves in difficulty. It's not the case of someone disobeying the Lord and the judgment of God comes down upon them. That's why it was that we read Jonah chapter 1. And it is that many commentators think that Mark, as he wrote this section of his gospel, that he's telling the account with the story of Jonah behind it as a kind of template. And it is that you've got a repetition in some ways of what took place in Jonah chapter 1. But what you find in Jonah 1 is that the reason that Jonah is in the storm is because of his disobedience, because it is that he didn't follow the command of God, because it is that he sought to run from God. But that's not the case here. The disciples are doing what Jesus had commanded them to do. You can imagine James and Peter and John saying to themselves, you know, if we become disciples of Jesus, we can leave this humdrum life of fishing on the Sea of Galilee. We can leave it behind us. Life is going to be good with the Messiah. Life is going to be good with this man of whom it is that the people say that he doesn't speak like the Pharisees or the scribes, but he speaks with authority. But that's not what happens. What we find is that for the people of God, that as Jesus commands us, that he leads us into storms. Think of where some of you find yourselves today. Wherever you are, you've been faithfully following Jesus Christ, perhaps now for many decades, perhaps for just a few weeks. Not only that, you've been faithfully reading his word. You've been seeking with his help, the help of the Spirit, to implement his word in your life. And it is that you're seeking to live a life that glorifies a God. You know there are always failures and shortcomings, and that's the way it's always going to be until we get to glory. There's no perfectionism in this scene of time. No one is perfect. But as an act of obedience to Jesus, as an act of discipleship to Jesus, trouble has come out of the blue, unsolicited. Remember when God called Paul, and he said to him, I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. And what I'm saying to us this morning is this, that these are still the realities for the people of God and for those who love Christ. And these are the realities that are ours from time to time. It is that because we are Christians, that we are not exempt from the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. It is that we're not exempt from the persecutions that emanate from the world's hatred of the people of God. And it certainly is the case that we are not exempt from the additional sufferings that Satan seems to bring into our lives and the hardships that often seem to be part of following Jesus Christ. Such things are still part of our believing experience. So not only are the storms unpredictable on that basis, they're unavoidable. The storm came upon them while they were still in the midst of the sea. The winds begin to blow, the waves begin to swell, and it wasn't long until it is that the waves were crashing over the sides of the boat. The boat is taking on water, it's quickly filling, and these seasoned sailors knew that if this continued, the boat wouldn't stay afloat much longer. And it is that they were too far from the shore to make a quick landing, and they see themselves at the mercy of the sea. As far as they're concerned, in and of themselves, there's no way as to how they can extricate themselves out of this dangerous situation. And the same is true for us. We find ourselves in dangerous and distressing situations, and we know that in our own strength, we're not able to extricate ourselves. You see, you don't have to seek difficulty. It will find you soon enough. And at times, we have to endure that which is unavoidable. And it is, not only are storms unpredictable and unavoidable, but they're uncontrollable. Look at verse 38. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? But this time, Jesus is asleep in the stern of the boat. The disciples have realized there's nothing we can do. We're in imminent danger of drowning, and it is, we've got to cry out to the Lord. Now, the application here, I think, is so wonderful. There is much in life, as we've been saying, that is beyond you, your control, and my control. We all face trials and difficulties at various points that we're not able to handle ourselves. So the question to ask yourself this morning is this. In those moments, what is it that you do? Are you someone who holds on for grim death and seeks to wait out the storm and hopefully come out at the other end of it? Or are you someone like the disciples who hollers out to Jesus in the midst of the storm and says, Lord, help us. Our only strength, our only hope, our only comfort is in you. And they didn't realize at that time that even in the midst of the storm, even when it appeared that the boat was about to sink and that they would drown, they were much safer with Jesus in that situation in the midst of the storm than they would have been if they had not obeyed him and they were standing on the shore without him. Let me say that again. They didn't realize at the time that they were much safer with Jesus in the midst of the storm than they would have been standing on the seashore without Jesus. See, it's often hard for us to remember, and particularly when we're in the storm, that we are always secure in Jesus Christ. No matter what is happening, no matter what our senses might be saying to us. You see, the disciples, they're facing death as far as they're concerned, and their rabbi is sleeping. Let's be honest. Have you never been like the disciples and you said to Jesus, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care about the storm in Jesus? Don't you care that I can't pay my bills? Don't you care that my health is going down quickly? Don't you care that my marriage is falling apart? Don't you care that it is that my world seems to be crashing round about me? And imagine the astonishment and the utter frustration of the disciples. He's with them, but he seems to be not sharing in their trial. He's not praying. He's not offering them encouragement. He's not even showing them leadership or sympathy. He's sleeping. Don't you care? Is all you can do is sleep at this moment? But think on it. Here we have the Son of God. Here we have the Son of God who, as Paul tells us in Colossians, all things were created by him and through him and for him. And in him, all things consist. All things hold together. Jesus is the glue, in a sense, that holds this universe, holds your life together. He's proven himself to be God by miracles, by healing and casting out demons. And so it is that drowning isn't part of the script, not for him or even his devoted disciples. You see, they were probably hoping for something like, be calm, men, have faith, God will see us through. No, he's sleeping. And yet there's a little bit more to it. Not only does Jesus lead us into the storm, but I think we can take another principle from this, that Jesus will put you in places that will tempt you to think that he doesn't care about you. In God's providence, from time to time, we will be put into places as the Lord leads us where we come to the wrong conclusion that he doesn't care about us. What's he doing? It's a test. This is the way that the Lord sifts his people and takes away the dross. This is the way that he strengthens us. He puts us through the fires. He sends us through the storms. And he brings often into your life things that you wish were not there. John Calvin writes this and says, and I quote, God has so ordered the church from the very beginning that death is the way to life and the cross the way to victory. Then Jesus wakes up. The hollering has wakened him. The wind's howling, the boat's been thrown about in the water. And I can just imagine Jesus as he wakens up, that a wave crashes over and slaps him in the face. And then, like a dad who is woken from his slumber, and it is that his kids, his young family, are running about, running and screaming around the room. It is that Jesus tells the storm, even as the father would tell his unruly children, cut it out. Stop what you're doing. Settle down. And it does. And Jesus says, why are you so afraid? Why do you still have no faith? I think if I was there, I'd perhaps be thinking and maybe even saying, really? You don't know why we were afraid? Have you not noticed that the boat is filled with water and it's beginning to sink? And you're saying to us that we've got no faith? You were sleeping. And yet, it is that Christ was with them. And it is that the moment of serenity and severity led to a moment of surprise. And the moment of surprise is in verses 39 to 41. The storm wasn't enjoyable. No storm is. But it was beneficial. Through the storm and being in the midst of the storm and Jesus with them, the disciples would discover much about their Lord and much that would increase their faith and their trust in him. They discovered his presence. They discovered his power. It is that we read there that he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Literally, what is written here is this, peace, be muzzled. You know what it's like if you've got a dog that's barking and snapping, and a dog that's uncontrollable at times. The one thing that the owner has to do is to put a muzzle on the dog's snout to stop it snapping and biting. That's what Jesus is saying here to the wind and the waves. Be muzzled. Stop your biting. Stop what it is that you're doing. Stop the damage that it is that you're seeking to bring about. Now, some are of the view that what we have here is just a storm because of the geographical situation. But I certainly think that we can, and the passage would take it, that lying behind this, when Jesus says be muzzled, that there is a satanic influence here. And Christ is saying to the enemies of his people and his church, be muzzled. Cut it out. Stop it. And it is that that's what happened. He brought peace, not just to the disciples, but peace to the lake. The amazing thing is that the words that are used, and when you consider the other gospel accounts, the calmness was instantaneous. If you've ever been in the midst of a storm at sea, then it is that the wind begins to die down. Even when the wind is gone, the sea so often is still churning. And it takes time, it can take hours for the sea to become calm. Not that way with Jesus. In an instant, the storm became a calm. And his provision for them. And he was reminding them and teaching them of his preeminence. That he is the one who controls everything. The storms at sea, even the storms that perhaps some of us find ourselves in this Lord's Day morning. See, the reason I chose this passage for today is that I'm convinced that every single one of us who's joining with us, whether you're a Christian or not, you can relate to this passage because you've been in storms or maybe you're in a storm at the moment. And it is that you know, you can't predict, you can't avoid or control the storm. So if you're in a storm today because of COVID or whatever else, do as the disciples did. Call out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Because it is that this selfsame Jesus can provide exactly what you need at this moment, no matter how big or small the storm is. And the disciples, they were filled with awe. What manner of man is this that the wind and the waves obey him? What manner of man is this? He's the Son of God. He's the second person of the Godhead. But it is that he is friend and savior to all who would seek his face and his favor and acknowledge him as savior and Lord. Amen. Let's pray and we ask that God would bless this word to us. Father, it is that truly in a sense, when we consider the world situation, that the nations of the world and the peoples of the world, that we find ourselves in the midst of a great storm that has been brought about through this virus. And it is that we see the damaging effects that it is having in terms of relationships, us having to be kept apart from one another, in terms of the economy, in terms of employment, in terms, O Lord, of life itself. But it is that we pray that all of us without exception, that even now in the midst of this storm, that we might know of your peace that transcends all understanding to guard our heart and mind in Jesus Christ. We pray for any today who feel that they're about to crack mentally and physically because of the pressures of the storm in their life. We ask, Lord, that even now that they might cry out to Jesus as the disciples did and that they might know of him saying to them, peace, be still. Go with us then, Father, through the remainder of this your day and forgive sin in Jesus' name. Amen.